Welcome into 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Likens with you, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. It is a Tuesday, riding right along. The first chilly Tuesday of the year.
Yeah, a little cold today. Big moon, a little cold.
Getting gas this morning sucked.
Oh, you got gas in the AM. Where did you go this morning for gas?
Quick Trip Unknown.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Fair enough. Because, you know, this one over here every once in a while, man, I've been hit up in the parking lot a few times. I'm like, I'll go there when the sun comes up.
10 cents cheaper than the one in Lee Summit. So.
Oh, wow. Which is really weird. We talked about that last week. Like, all of a sudden, Kansas gas prices are cheaper than the Missouri gas prices. I guess it's all that sports gambling money, right?
That's right. I got gas this morning because I could not leave my house last night and miss this game.
Oh, the Jets and Buffalo Bills. Yeah, nobody was going anywhere last night, right?
I mean, not even the players. There was a flag on every play.
I know. Crazy. 22 penalties.
I saw Schefter said flag. Even Schefter was complaining. And, like, look, I don't really care for Adam Schefter. I get his job. Like, he's leaned into that role.
Oh, God,
like, he's,
yes.
You know, he's the guy. He's I don't sleep. I hate it. I hate my cell phone. No, you don't.
Like, no, you love it. That's why you have two.
Yeah. Like, sure, that guy loves
a drug.
Job.
Like, it's an IV drip for him, right?
Yeah. For sure, that guy is definitely lying.
Yeah.
Oh, you do sports radio? Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. I guess. Whatever.
Right.
Like, okay. No, I actually love my job a lot. But no, so Aaron Rodgers, Buffalo Bills last night, a lot of flags. But at the end of the day, the conversation to be had is like, neither one of those teams really gained any respect or any sort of feel. Like, look, I get it. It's a division game on the road. Josh Allen was good. Aaron Rodgers was good. I'm going to give him respect.
You know, Aaron Rodgers played well last night, but didn't win the game.
They didn't win the game.
No. And now you can blame the kicker for missing two field goals and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Buffalo, maybe the worst extra point one ever did see.
Yeah.
But in Aaron Rodgers, the Hail Mary, like, there were some good moments for Aaron Rodgers in that game last night. But again, you're right, Dusty. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. I don't care. You're 2-4, right? You're sitting at 2-4 after six games and your season is kind of teetering right now. If you're the Jets. And did you walk away from that game thinking Buffalo was a contender last night, though? Be honest with yourself. I don't think Buffalo's very good. I mean, they beat up on some of the Sisters of the Poor and, you know, they lost two games and then barely beat the Jets. I think Buffalo's a mid-team at this point in time.
Buffalo's interesting because they seem like a movie character that just always seems to show up, but you know they're never going to be the main character.
Yeah,
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I get you.
I've been watching a lot of, like, Halloween movies lately, trying to get into the mood.
Getting into the spirit of Halloween.
I want to see jack-o'-lanterns before I want to see Jack Frost, if that makes sense.
God. No, I get you.
Like,
yeah.
Give me Halloween for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, like, Buffalo, I think, is always has to be considered, right? Like, you watch the Scream movies and the inner circle of friends. Like, well, somebody's got to be considered the villain. You just have to. It has to be that way. And Buffalo is going to ride out this division. The Dolphins, obviously, they're in trouble.
They're done.
The Jets,
they're 2-4. There's nothing. They're 2-4. Okay. Right. They're done.
And New England is done.
Yeah.
So the Bills are kind of in a similar situation with the Chiefs. The only thing that's not similar are their teams. The Chiefs are in a pretty garbage division. The Bills are in a pretty garbage division.
Right.
They're both going to win their division. So they're always going to play each other every year because that's the way the schedule works. But, like, we've seen this story before.
Yeah.
Like,
we're
in the same chapter and we're just going back. And, like, I thought maybe this would be a year where I would see, like, oh, the Chiefs will definitely have a problem with that on Buffalo. But it's like, I mean, the Chiefs defense, obviously, we'll talk about that later on the show. But, like, I just don't think that, like, when I look at teams that can be a contender to the Chiefs, I'm like, can this team beat that defense? I'm not looking at the teams today thinking to myself, can this team stop Mahomes? It's more so, would this team be able to score against the Chiefs defense? And a lot of these teams, I'm like, No,
but you look at the Jets right now, and they're you know, they're a rudderless ship. Obviously, they fired their head coach. Their quarterback is okay, you know, at this point in time. But, you know, I'm tired of hearing about this vaunted Jets defense that people have talked about for the last couple of years. Their defense isn't that good. I mean, they're just not. They're not coming up with the plays that they need to come up with at the times that they need to come up with them. Their quarterback is not making the right plays. He's throwing interceptions at the end of two games. I think he had the opportunity to win four of the four games that they've lost this year, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, at the end with these last second drives, that's why you bring a veteran quarterback in.
Right? Hail Mary.
Yeah, they did. Could have dropped
it.
But, you know, if they drop the Hail Mary, it's a blowout. And we're not even talking about this thing being a close game, right?
What are the percentages of actually catching a Hail Mary?
Like,
I know it's
2%,
52 yards, but, like,
no, it's like about 2%, you know, or something
under
like
Aaron
that.
Rodgers, it's like 50.
Yeah, but he's like the king of swing on that.
He is, but he's supposed to also be the comeback king, right? He's supposed to be the guy you want the ball in your hand. I think Ben used the stat this morning, Maller, is that in the four games that they've lost, they've had an opportunity within a touchdown under 4 minutes to go to win all of those games, and they didn't do it. And that's why you bring Aaron Rodgers in. Like, Zach Wilson doesn't come back and win you football games, right? Mm-hmm. Like, bad quarterbacks don't come back and win you football games. Patrick Mahomes lines up under center. You're down six with 4 minutes to go. You're leaving the stadium because you know they've won the football game and you're planning the victory party mm-hmm. afterwards. With the Jets right now, with Aaron Rodgers, he's supposed to be that guy. And, you know, I hate to continue to be the bearer of bad news here, but athletes get old. They are not as good as they used to be. Aaron Rodgers is coming off a missed season with an Achilles tendon that was no good for an entire year. Did we really expect the Jets to be good? The answer to that question should be no, because he's an aging quarterback. Now they don't have a coach, and they don't have a defense that was nearly as good as they were 2 years ago when everybody was talking about how great this Jets defense is. So they're not a player. I don't necessarily think Buffalo's a player, but you're right, Dustin. They're going to win the division because, yeah. Well, nobody else is.
Right.
I mean, New England don't want this thing. Miami has no chance. The Jets suck, right?
Yeah, and the AFC's just not good.
When did this turn? This year, right?
Yeah, the AFC is not great. Like we talked about it yesterday when it comes to like the standings and you know who's in what situation, but like legitimate contender. Like someone that you look at roster wise and you tell yourself, you know what, that team come January.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, they scare me.
Yeah, Houston for me is really the only answer to that question right now in the AFC.
Like your wild card teams right now, like if the playoffs started today, the Chiefs are the one seed, right. Houston's the two, Baltimore's the three, Buffalo's the four.
And it's week seven. We can start doing this now.
And
right?
Baltimore's going to scare you because, you know, you beat them by a toe, but I mean, like you're not the same team. Baltimore's getting stronger, so that's a topic for another day, way down the road. But you do have tiebreaker with them, so you will have a chance to eventually. It would be home,
yeah, home game.
But I mean, Houston, Baltimore, Buffalo. That we chalk that up if you had that ahead of time. Like that was your top four, right?
Yeah,
like you're not unexpecting that.
No,
you knew the three contenders were going to be Houston, Buffalo, and Baltimore.
And Baltimore.
That was it. The Cincinnati is obviously one of those teams. They're 2-4. And they're currently in eighth place.
Yeah.
Your wildcard teams are Pittsburgh, Chargers, Colts. None of that scares you.
Yeah, none of that scares you.
Colts
none of that
Flacco,
should scare you.
They don't know if they have Anthony Richardson, Michael Pittman's here nor there.
But I don't want to see, you know, I think for them right now, Flacco may be the better move for the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, he's a veteran dude that played well last year, helped the Browns, you know, get to the situation that they were in last year. But, I mean, the AFC for the last 5 or 6 years was so good, right? Was so good. And the NFC, we looked at and go, God, that is really bad. Now, in the NFC, you've got the North, I mean, just by itself, right? Like, how awesome is that division right now? And then you've got, obviously, the Commanders are the number one team in the East. Will that last? I don't know. Is Philadelphia better than them? Who knows? You know, in that type of situation, you got your NFC South, you know, mess going on. Atlanta's a pretty good team that the Chiefs have already beaten. And then you look at what's going on out West, and I don't know, whoever wants that division can jump up and grab that division because that thing is wide open. But I think we look at the NFC having more contenders because you have the NFC North loaded with contenders right now. Mm-hmm. Like that, has a whole division ever made the playoffs before?
The AFC North, maybe.
Did
they do it last year? Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati didn't make the playoffs.
Cincinnati, no. So I don't know.
That's happened.
I don't know that it has ever happened, and I think we could be trending that way in the NFC, where you have your four division winners and your three wild cards are all you know, from the North. Because I don't know, the Giants aren't making it. I don't know that Dallas is making it right now.
Well, yeah, it wasn't possible for that to happen until the new format. So no, it's never happened.
But the new format, God, that's been in place since 2002 now. So you would think
the 7-team format.
Oh, the 7-team format. Yes, my bad. Yes. I thought you meant the new division. Yeah, you're right. So yeah,
that
so
came after years.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Hang on.
We need to let more teams
Who wants more football?
Right, yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
How do they not know they're doing this because of Mahomes? Just keep going with it.
And I was like hesitant with the 7-game format, but I love it. I love the postseason format in the NFL.
It's 20. When was Tom Brady's first year with the Bucs? Because remember, they blew up Philadelphia. Like, they just blew out Philadelphia.
And
it was like,
them.
Nobody wants this game. And then they were like, here's ratings. call me next week.
Everybody wants this game. Yeah. No, people will watch, even though some of those first round games haven't been great. But I love it because it's more football, and it makes the regular season mean that much more as well, too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're continuing to play for that number one seed, because having that bye at the end of the season, as we've seen here from firsthand experience, is so very, very valuable to have that bye and to get the opportunity to rest those guys, whether it's against the Chargers in week 17 or the actual bye week. You want to have that little bit of a break. So the NFC, though, man, that NFC North is loaded right now. The AFC, I look around and I'm like, we're in a great spot right now. Like, you're waking up this morning in Chiefs Kingdom going, man, I don't know, maybe Houston. Other than that, there ain't much of a contender. And Aaron Rodgers, probably the last rodeo. Well, he's so arrogant and narcissistic. He'll be back for more next year, even though this year hasn't been a great start to the season for Mr. Rodgers.
I think I have an answer to why your NFC is now better than the AFC.
All right.
The AFC and the NFC are trending in the opposite ways. The NFC started drafting quarterbacks.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Jordan Love, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Those type of guys are starting to perform.
Sam Darnold.
Okay. Well, he got out of wherever he was at. But I mean, you look at these teams that started to be, you know, the dog poos of the league, and every once in a while, blind squirrel finds a nut.
Yeah.
And these quarterbacks, Jordan Love developed in Green Bay, NFC North.
Yep.
Caleb Williams, overall first round pick, starting to trend in the right direction. Yep. NFC North. Jared Goff got into Dan Campbell's offense, went over there. He's always been an NFC quarterback. That's worked. Sam Darnold gets out of New York, goes to the NFC. Hello, my career is completely different. So,
yeah, well, it's good coaching, too.
Quarterback play's gotten better.
Quarterback play's gotten better, and I think there's some good coaches over there. Like Kevin O'Connell's really, really good. I think the young, cute guy that my wife thinks coaches Green Bay.
LaFleur. Peter's brother.
Yes, that's exactly right. he's doing a nice job up there as well. I think they're overcoming Eberflus in Chicago. I'm still not sold on that gentleman coaching the Chicago Bears right now. But I think you're right. The quarterback situation has changed. If you don't have a quarterback back in this league, you don't win. I used to just think that was a college football thing, because for years I would say, why doesn't Kansas just go get a quarterback? If you get a quarterback, you can win in college. It's the same in the NFL right now. If you have a quarterback, you have an opportunity. And quite frankly, the Jets just don't have a quarterback right now.
You look at the veterans that are over there, even. You had Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, and there was Derek Carr.
Derek Carr.
He's in there. Baker's been better.
Baker's been great.
Baker's been really good.
Baker's been very, very good.
Baker Mayfield kind of falls in that same category as Jared Goff. Like, are people ever going to let Baker be good, or are we always going to look at Baker and think there's somebody better out there?
I think everyone in that tier is that guy.
Yeah.
I think this is Baker's year. Like, this is his, like, okay,
what does
cool.
that mean?
Like, this is the end of the hatred towards Baker.
Is this the end of the hatred? Or hatred is a strong word for. I don't think anybody hates Jared Goff. I don't think people recognize Jared Goff.
I think Baker is a little bit more flamboyantly loud.
Yeah, he is.
You know, obviously he was like on all those commercials early on in his career. Yeah. Did the stuff at Oklahoma
and
all that kind of thing.
The crotch grab probably got him. Planting a flag, I think, probably rubbed people the wrong way.
He was drafted by Cleveland, and he was never developed over there. Shockingly surprising.
Shockingly, Cleveland failed the quarterback.
You know,
right?
He has that now story, the on-the-come story. He didn't work out in Cleveland. He was the Heisman Trophy winner. He was this going-to-be-a-franchise-saver.
Won a game for the Rams.
Now he's found a home in Tampa Bay. It's working out, and they're doing better things.
Good for him, though. I mean, it's a kind of a microcosm on life. It doesn't work out somewhere else. It could definitely work out elsewhere. Go try it. And look, I love the Baker commercials. I thought those were great. I mean, who wouldn't want to live in a stadium and have access to hot cheese all the time, man? Like, that would be cool. I thought he did a really good job, you know, in those commercials. And the more I feel like the more people hate somebody, the more I seemingly like them. I don't know, like with Baker, the more people were like, this guy sucks, I don't like this guy. I'm like, I kind of do like this guy. Like, you like that spunk that he plays with.
No doubt about it. Underdogs, always a great story for a certain team in the NFL. It's Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Moore. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
It's the small things that count.
Yes, like us being on the video cameras this morning.
There you go.
So watch us live, right? How do they do that? They go to 96.5 The Fan on X or YouTube or wherever, and you can watch us Twitch, and you can watch Dusty and I live this morning. So go ahead and do that, and crank the numbers up on that. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you'll have an opportunity for us to maybe have the boss buy us a meal or two, right?
Yeah, you said get to 3,000. We were at 2,505, I think. Yesterday.
Okay.
So we're almost there. Also, hopefully everybody's still going to the Crestridge Cougar website, supporting that local school to try to get them that grant from T-Mobile to update their stadium. Still alive. pinned at the top of my Twitter. If you missed the story yesterday, it's right there. Fox 4 has done a story on it. Everybody else, local media news, has probably done a story on it as well. Crest Ridge Cougar at their Instagram. Like it. See how many we can get. This little piece of audio had Bob pin his ears up.
Seattle stinks.
I mean, they do.
Talk about moving the goalposts.
By the way, everybody stinks.
That I agree with. Like, Kansas City's the only really good team.
Are they?
Then the Ravens.
Are they?
The Chiefs? Oh, yeah. No, the Chiefs
just
are
just because they win doesn't mean they're a really good team. They're undefeated, but they're not great.
They're the best of the best.
Watch their game.
I believe in my soul that I'm onto something here.
So that was WFAN yesterday in New York talking about all the teams in the NFL as they were getting ready for Jets and Bills yesterday.
Everybody sucks.
Everybody stinks except the Chiefs in the NFL.
Classic.
What have I been telling you, right?
It's like you're still in New York. You got your ear to the wall up there. It is weird, though, that they seem like an anomaly.
They are, right?
Like,
yeah.
We've had so many different topics about the Chiefs. Like, Mac did it yesterday. He's like, if I told you that Mahomes led the league in interceptions and Travis Kelce had 150 total yards receiving and they were without their top two wide receivers and running back, would you guess 5-0?
Yes.
Yes,
ridiculous. I would.
I'd have been like, I don't know.
No.
Maybe this is the year they get a top 10 pick and we go get one of those stud receivers and we just load the offense up and flip the script on everybody. But it's like you think about it and it's not super far of a stretch for you to say yes. I don't think I thought about this yesterday. I really did. I know I haven't told you this, but I really did think about this because I'm like, maybe Bob's kind of right.
Yeah.
Because how many times in other sports do you see teams get damaged, but their captain isn't?
Right.
So it's like, well, the guy's still driving the ship. So, I mean, you think about it, it's like, is Mahomes still playing? Yeah. Is Travis Kelce still on the field and can still be like a decoy? Yeah. Is Andy Reid still calling plays? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Is that defense still there? Yeah. Offensive stars have gotten hurt.
Sure.
Now, I don't think this team's 5-0 if you're without like McDuffie.
Oh, God.
And
no.
Chris, like,
completely different conversation.
What's the offense and defense equivalent?
You lose Chris Jones and Trent McDuffie, you're not 5-0. There's no question about it in my mind. They're more valuable to the success of the defense than Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown and maybe even Isaiah Pacheco are to the success of the offense, right?
Which is why I wrap my head around why Mahomes is so much regarded as a favorite as the MVP.
Yeah, because he is the most, he makes everybody better around him. And look, that's what Tom Brady did for 20 years. And when this Mahomes thing started, that was the conversation we were having. People sometimes listen, sometimes they don't, sometimes they believe, sometimes they don't want to believe. But once they paid Patrick Mahomes, they looked at Patrick Mahomes and they said, remember when they paid Tom Brady a little bit of cash and he raised the game of everybody else and they had a lacrosse player playing wide receiver and a tight end that nobody knew about and, you know, really nobody at the wide receiver spot except for Randy Moss for a hot minute. But you made everybody else better and Bill Belichick took his defensive prowess and made a good defensive team and Tom Brady made everybody better on offense. That's the same situation that we're seeing with Patrick Mahomes. As long as he's here, they're never going to truly invest that money into those quote-unquote superstar wide receivers because, hey, we've paid our quarterback and he's capable of making everybody better. Like, he's his own worst enemy from that standpoint. He has made everybody better that he's played with. I mean, there's not a guy other than Kadrapius Toney, but that's self-inflicted, that Patrick Mahomes hasn't made better. And Andy Reid, again, I mean, like, the trump card that we have with Andy Reid standing on that sideline is so much bigger. I mean, it's Phil Jackson, right? It's Greg Popovich. It's Bill Belichick, you know, in his early days. There's not many coaches that are true difference makers in everything that they do for an organization like Andy Reid does. And then you've got Steve Spagnuolo on the defensive side as well. Like, that's another cheat code that we have on this football team. So to sit there and say we're surprised they're 5-0 or not surprised or, you know, listening to them saying the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL, they are the best team in the NFL. And it's okay to admit that because we now have 6 weeks of work. Who in this league right now do you look at and go, boy, they're in the same category as the Chiefs? I know I'm a homer and I embrace that and I don't care, but I'm right on this one. I am 100% right on this one. There is not a team in the NFL that is better than Kansas City. It just doesn't exist.
It's almost, because what do we call the NFL, a copycat league?
Yeah.
Are they officially the Patriots?
Oh, like, God, yeah. Yeah.
Because they've 100% done the whole sort of, now again, I'm not saying, time out, Kansas City fans, I'm not saying that they're copying the Tom Brady, but they kind of are doing the same thing.
Yes.
They're giving Mahomes enough.
Enough.
Because they know what he is.
Right.
Which is not what they did in Green Bay to Aaron Rodgers. Like, they knew what Aaron Rodgers was. I mean, he still had Jordy Nelson. He had some targets out there.
What's it say about Aaron Rodgers, though, you know?
But they might not have had the defense. And one thing that New England always knew is New England always knew what their defense was going to be, and they never changed their style.
Right.
Like, there was always somebody like Richard Seymour or, you know, the guy that's
Chris
now
Jones.
Yeah, which is they have their defensive line. They don't let teams, you know, run all over
Law,
them.
Ty Law, right?
Right.
Trent McDuffie.
They had all those, like, kind of stars on defense, and they had their main guy just run the ship, which is Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
So, and then they have the coach who's like, you guys just play to your talents.
Who was the offensive coordinator in New England during those years, right?
There was a bunch.
Josh McDaniels, Mangini. Like, they kind of rotated. Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, all those guys.
And Patrick Mahomes. And Tom Brady just kept doing his thing. But defensively, they stayed pretty much the same. So you flip it here in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Offensively, it's pretty much been the same with Andy Reid, right? And defensively, obviously, they switched coordinators one time and then elevated their game from there. And so, like, it doesn't matter. You know, for me, who's coaching Patrick Mahomes, as long as it's Andy Reid.
And that's where I think there's just the slight difference is that the way the Patriots ran their offense is the way the Chiefs run their defense. The way the Patriots ran their defense is the way the Chiefs run their offense. Like, everybody knew, right, who the defensive coordinator was for New England.
Right. It was Bill Belichick.
It was Bill.
Yeah.
Now, all his predecessors or successors, however you want to use that verb. I just completely botched it. But all the guys that were the defensive coordinators would all go get jobs, and they would fail.
Fail miserably.
Right?
Well, all the offensive guys would get jobs and fail too, right?
Yeah. Right? And we all know who's the head honcho at the offense. It's Andy Reid, just like Bill Belichick was the honcho for the defense on New England.
Mm-hmm.
But those coordinators were like, well, maybe they can go off and do something else. Now, Nagy's situation was a little unfair in Chicago.
Yeah.
Right? That was just a blank show in the upper man, and they just didn't get along.
Right.
But Doug Peterson went off. Won a Super Bowl. Great.
Won a Super Bowl.
But, I mean, hadn't really done anything since. Right. Got lucky with a play against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I'll admit it.
Like, called the play, designed the play. You give him credit for the play, right?
Right. And did that. But, like, you look at the Chiefs, and that's where they kind of differentiate from the Patriots. Whereas, like, Belichick ran that defense and knew how to, like, manage that. Whereas Andy Reid is running the offense and knows how to manage games that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do is you're just leaning on your defensive coordinator to be like, hey, do your job. Whereas, like, Belichick was like, hey, offense coordinators, go do your thing.
Right.
And, I mean, I think Mangini was a good offensive coordinator. I think that he was not a great head coach, but Bill O'Brien's had many opportunities, done a lot of good things with his teams, done some stupid things when he got in the upper management and trying to do too much
in
Houston.
And if he would have just stayed as Houston's head coach, I think they would have been okay.
As long as he wasn't the general manager, too.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Just the head coach. Right. Get rid of the GM tag. But also, too, though, like Andy Reid and what he's doing here, you know, with this organization is kind of a microcosm of life, right? Like look at every business. It's all about move out the old dogs. They can't learn new tricks. And then you look at the NFL and all these young guys that have come in. Crickets. You look at the coach that continues to dominate. The couple of coaches that continue to dominate in this league. Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin. Like, all of those guys with winning records, all of those guys in playoff positions, all of those guys are the top of their game. But every year, there's a new young guy that's going to come in and reinvent things. Which young guy is coming in and truly reinventing things right now in the NFL? Your top coaches are still the guys who have been around the block and have the experience. And there's something to be said for that. I mean, Andy Reid is, I don't know, what, 65 years old, 66 years old? He's got twice as much experience in the NFL as, like, Matt LaFleur is age-wise, right? Like Andy Reid's been in the NFL coaching as long as guys like Matt LaFleur and Mike McDonald and some of these young guys have been on planet Earth. And so he's got that experience that he can draw from, and he draws from it every single day from a leadership standpoint, a play calling standpoint, reinventing himself. How many coaches could reinvent themselves like Andy Reid has done? I don't know, at least three times since he's come to Kansas City alone.
Dan Quinn's doing a hell of a job.
He's doing a hell of a job. He's an older guy with experience too, right?
Dallas's offense sucks. Yeah. Who was their offensive coordinator last year? Washington's in first place in that division. Who's their head coach this year?
Yeah. He was their defensive coordinator.
No, Dan Quinn's doing a heck of a job. Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury is getting that second chance and doing that. Don't win that too.
Right.
He's finally got his guy. He's like, this guy can do some similar things that my guy did at Texas Tech.
And look, if you're Cliff Kingsbury right now, I mean, you're going to be one of the hot coordinators coming off this, you know, this, well, we're 6 weeks
hey,
into the season.
Are you at least 8 inches long?
Yeah, right.
You want to come coach this team in Dallas?
And Cliff will go, yeah, I'll go home to Texas, right?
know? Bet Cliff's pretty proud of himself.
Oh, hell yeah. He should be, right? Good-looking man.
Got a great place, too.
Oh, yeah, he does. Did he sell that joint, do you think? Or
no.
Did he still have it?
I would never move. Yeah. But no, you go into that, and we continue to this conversation with the Chiefs, but underdogs this Sunday, but are they really? Now, I ask this because the old way of Vegas, before quarterbacks were so good in the NFL, it was always coined as you were always a three-point favorite at home.
Right, three-point favorite
Chiefs
at home.
Chiefs, I think, now are a minus one.
I think it's one and a half. It may have changed. I haven't looked at it since 2 days ago.
So now they're 1.5 at San Francisco, which is absurd to me.
Yeah.
Because, I understand that they're home. But again, the old Vegas way was if you were a home team, you automatically were given 3 points. I don't know why, but that's just home field advantage.
That's the way it was. Home field advantage. You always got three. My dad ran the pool. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to say that on the air, was
easy.
I? It was North Jersey back in the 70s and 80s.
In the witness protection program.
Maybe I did the same thing in high school. I don't know, but
your dad's going to have to change his name.
Yeah, right. Or you can just say it's me.
He's like Christopher Walken from Joe Dirt. but no, yeah, Chiefs 1.5-point dogs.
Yeah.
They're plus 100 on the money line. So whatever you want to do this weekend, consider that. And
the Chiefs are plus 100 on the money line
right
now. Yeah,
so you can put a bet right now. You can win some money on the Chiefs if you're confident.
Yeah.
And our guy Rob Collins at Fox 4 had this whole thing where he says Patrick Mahomes' record as underdog is a ridiculous 11-1-1 and 10-3 straight up.
Oh my God.
So
he's only been an underdog 13 times.
And I find it interesting that they are underdogs, even though they're playing San Francisco.
He's played 100 games and he's been an underdog 13 times. How many of those were at the beginning, right?
Right. I mean, I know a lot of them were at the end of the year when they won against Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. They were underdogs in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They were underdogs at home against Cincinnati.
Is that counting postseason?
It just says Patrick Mahomes' record as an underdog.
Okay.
So, I mean, I know that he was at least underdog twice in that Super Bowl run that they won.
Yeah.
Because they won me some money.
Yeah, oh God, yeah.
Because I remember when it was announced that Cincinnati was coming to Arrowhead after they had called it Burrowhead, the Chiefs opened up as a 3-point dog at home.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was immediately. I was producing Chiefs games at AFC Championship. I was like, boom, hit it. Mm-hmm. I'm for sure doing it.
I mean, and especially the Chiefs being a dog off a bye too, Dusty. I mean, like Andy Reid is almost perfect.
And let's not sugarcoat it. You think the Chiefs are beat up. San Francisco's beat up. Trent Williams had a rough year so far. I mean, he's been in and out with injuries. No Christian McCaffrey. Mason, we'll find out more. It's only Tuesday,
so we don't really
hear anything until Wednesday.
And he's a really good player, too. There's some in the Chiefs organization that really like him.
Ayuk's been up and down. Debo looks like he's finally back to Debo.
Yep.
Kittle's been up and down every game. It'll happen this game. You'll see him run into the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
He did it last week. He had a good game last
week.
Great
game, though, yeah.
Good game last week.
Good game of blocking.
He had 2 touchdowns against Seattle. basically closed the door. But
led the league in yards last year as a tight end.
This is one of those things. Like, San Francisco's beat up, Chiefs are beat up, and to be 5-0 versus 3-3 on the road off a bye and to be a 1.5 dog, I think is a little tiny bit egregious. I think this game should be just a spread even game.
An even game, right?
I think
pick 'em game. Are you loading up on the money line with the Chiefs? I mean, I think they're winning the football game. Yeah.
I will. Because I think that number will go down to 1. I think that money line will stay at plus 100, though.
Yeah.
But I ask, are the Chiefs necessarily really underdogs if the old standard stands where you automatically are given 3 points at home?
Yeah.
Or technically,
between the lines, the Chiefs
are the favorite.
The Chiefs are the favorite.
Judging by Vegas numbers, they're considered the underdog.
Right. The Chiefs are essentially, well, you do the math, right? The Chiefs are essentially a 2.5-point favorite, I guess you could say. But then you give the 3 to, you know, San Francisco.
Sure.
And that's, yeah, because I've always played that game, too. And I will always play that game,
you know,
in the NFL.
Continue the 3.
Yeah, I do. Like, you're home, you automatically get 3. You know, you get
like
the home
Arrowhead
field advantage.
You get 5.
You would think, but, you know, the other teams love playing at Arrowhead. They do. Like, everybody loves playing at Arrowhead.
They get
it gives
juiced
juice.
Up. Yeah.
Oh, big time. Because they don't see anything like that before, right? They come in and it's an environment. It's fun. It's crazy. It's wild. Like, damn, this is fun. This
it's like
is
high
like college.
School kids love going to Rock.
Absolutely.
At least coming from Blue Springs, like Rock Week was bigger than Rivalry Week.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious.
Well,
like,
Blue Springs and Rockers were a big rivalry back in the day, too, man.
Shout out 06 to like 02.
Yeah, we got a big rivalry to game today. California Trail playing for the city championship middle school football against Pioneer Trail.
Let's go, California Trail. Even like, and I'm not even kidding. Like, even like the cheerleaders probably get jacked up.
Oh, they are. Everybody's excited for this.
Like, bring
one,
it
right?
on all over.
Yeah,
again.
Who wants to? I got some scalper tickets I can sell you for twice the cost. It's cost $2 to get in. I'll charge you $4. You can sit right in the front row.
Like father, like son, doesn't fall far from the tree there.
No,
dad's running illegal gambling pool. This guy's selling illegal high school tickets.
Yeah, right. Middle school tickets.
Middle school.
Yeah,
gonna
middle
be a school knock tickets. On the door here soon. It ain't gonna be specced.
Sir, you cannot do that. So, but anyway, it's you know.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's interesting because, you know, we started this conversation with similarities to the Patriots. We get to the middle of it where they're on the road dogs off of a bye. We know Andy Reid's record is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then you look at this game and you're like, okay, so they're looking at the Chiefs roster. You know, who's going to beat them on wide receiver? Well, Juju last week just had like 8 for 130.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
And
Kareem Hunt, hey, he looks like it's 2018 all over again, right?
I think that if we all look at how the copycat league of the NFL is, when do we lose our roots and go back to not thinking, okay, it's, let's see here. This week's matchup is Shanahan and Purdy versus Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. San Francisco -1.5.
Yeah.
Like, and that's fine. I mean, I get it. Like, no Rashee Rice, no Isaiah Pacheco.
On the road, cross-country trip, the whole nine yards, sure. Right? There's a lot of excuses you can make. Fine, you know. But Vegas always seemingly knows something.
But I think this is the most comfortable I've been as the Chiefs being considered a dog.
Yeah.
Is this game. Yeah. Like, Cincinnati AFC Championship game, we're all biting our fingernails.
Of course, because what's at stake? Right. There's a next week.
Philadelphia Super Bowl, we're all doing the same thing. But then at the same time, I think that maybe you started this conversation. I'm a homer, and I don't consider myself that. I try to be a realist, but like, there's a reason why I put money on the Chiefs as the underdog. One, maybe there's a little bit of homerisms there. Two, I've seen this story before, and I read the numbers. 11-1-1.
Yeah.
10-3. Like, I mean, it's just like against the spread, against as the money line, it's just like, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, I get it. I understand like how they try to do these things in football, but then I go back and I think, okay, well, if they're the same team as the Patriots and we look at the matchup that starts on paper, head coach, quarterback, it's a massive advantage.
It's a huge advantage right now. And I know people like Kyle Shanahan, but he's not Andy Reid. I know people like Brock Purdy. He's not in the same class as Patrick Mahomes. I was listening to something yesterday and I forget what it was. And somebody said every team in the NFL is flawed, right?
Mm-hmm,
and I was thinking about like the Chiefs, besides the wide receiver, like everybody can answer wide receiver. Like if you say, what's the biggest flaw for the Chiefs? Well, it's wide receiver. Is it, though? I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster had 500 yards receiving the other day,
yeah,
right? So is it wide receiver or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Like, so if that statement is true that every team is flawed, which every team has a wart or two, for me, I look at the Chiefs and I'm like, well, it's short yardage and it's red zone, right? Like, those are the two things that have been driving me nuts, I don't know, for the last 4 years with this
and
team.
And red zone
right?
has been the water cooler combo with everyone
for
I've
For everybody,
run
right? That's it, right?
Are they going to figure out red zone? I would hope so.
Right. I mean, that to me, when I look at it, like every team is flaw. The Chiefs inside the red zone, that's still a flaw for this organization. Is there anything else that you guys would look at and say, oh, yeah, that's a flaw for this organization?
I think those are definitely the biggest ones. I do have optimism with the short yardage, I will say. I think the acquisition of Kareem Hunt.
That may change. You're right.
I think that's going to change, maybe. Yeah. I think the interior offensive line is obviously elite. Kareem Hunt, Carson Steele still has some, you know, giving him carry, still looks good. If he doesn't fumble the ball, I would say explosive plays, which kind of ties into the wide receiver game. But, yeah, just deep shots.
Yeah.
We haven't don't get to see Mahomes.
I wouldn't hold my breath on that right now.
No,
you know?
No.
Listen, Xavier Worthy.
Exactly.
Do we forget Xavier Worthy's part of this team at times?
I think
I feel like we do. I'm not saying the three of us. I feel like the collective world, right?
I agree. He's not brought up. I brought it up on Chiefs Take Tuesday, which you can go on our Twitter and see that. But I think Xavier, big day on Sunday.
Yeah. Okay.
Big day.
Okay.
Let him run loose, man.
Exactly.
Let him go. Let's unleash that speed. But if you get inside the 20, figure out ways to get into the end zone. But let me rewind for a second. I'm just going to play devil's advocate. Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt are kind of similar runners, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why do we think Kareem Hunt can get it done in the red zone, but Isaiah Pacheco couldn't?
I think he could.
Think he was given the opportunity or like?
Well, my biggest flaw to kind of bring both ears together, I think it's just themselves. I think they're so smart that sometimes they get in their way. It's like your buddy that got a 36 on the ACT, went to college and failed out. You're like, what? You're just too smart for his own good.
Yeah, gets bored.
It's like,
I had somebody
tell
something
easy.
My friend's son yesterday, back from KU for fall break, and he's working at the J for 2 days, right? And he said to me, I said, how's college going, right? That's a logical question. He goes, my classes are just too easy. I'm like, damn, I would have given everything for
and
that.
I think that's the Chiefs' biggest
flaw. I'm like, what do you take? And he's like, accounting 200. You know, like all this stuff. I'm like, too easy.
Right? I mean, and that is sometimes people are too smart
for
their own
good. Shout out Mason. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think with red zone, with big plays, it's like they get to this point where they're like, well, we need to run this like corn dog cinnamon twist play to kind of like shock them. It's like, no. Just put Felix and DK Azuma at fullback, put Chris Jones at running back and run five yards straight.
And run straight. Right.
You'll score every time.
Yeah.
I mean, every time. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
yeah, you're right. There is overthinking. If Andy Reid does one thing, he does overthink. But you know right. what? I'll take the overthinking of Andy Reid every day. If that's like the biggest flaw we got to talk about, hey, we're in a good spot, man.
Right?
We really
it's
are.
It's like, what's your biggest flaw? It's like, my eyebrows are a little bushy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You I have a square jaw. Hair, you got dimples. Yeah. You got blue eyes. Must be nice.
Well, that was a lot of work that Tom had done. Oh, wait. Right. I'm sorry.
yeah. Coming up, guys that probably think way too much, you're on our list for Tough Tuesdays. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
It's a new day. It's Tuesday. It's Bob's favorite day for many reasons.
Yeah, it is Tuesday.
Be careful with those legs. They're tender.
They are. Yeah, she was sore again last night.
On the come.
You imagine running 26.2 miles, dude. How sore your legs would be?
Yeah.
But I ran 4 yesterday. She didn't.
Yeah. Loser.
Yeah. What'd you do yesterday?
Yeah. What's your talent?
Running 26.2 miles.
Yeah. In Chicago.
Yeah.
Flying home the same day.
Somebody died, I guess she was telling me yesterday in the marathon.
Jesus.
Yeah. You know, it's just crazy, okay. man.
That's a tough Tuesday start off.
It is, but. It happens. I mean, you're running 26.2 miles.
That's life.
That's what the people say.
Tough Tuesday conversation. That's a hell of a lead right there.
yeah,
so
it is,
my
yeah.
wife's a badass and someone died and she didn't.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the Royals offseason magic.
That's next.
Tough Tuesdays. I mean, nobody's having a tougher Tuesday than gotta be the old boy in Dallas.
Oh, Mike McCarthy. Yeah.
If you're him. Do you just go to Jerry and be like, dude, is this it? Like, you're definitely firing me after this year. Like,
well, you saw what happened yesterday, right? He was 2 hours late to his press conference.
Oh,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, so when you're something was going on behind the scenes. But I'll be honest with you. Whether it's Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells, Mike McCarthy, whoever the case may be, as long as Jerry Jones is still the general manager of that football team, they're going to continue to be a mess because the teams that are a mess because of ownership. And the Dallas Cowboys are a prime example of that. They are a mess from the top down. Look at the Jets. That's when people are like, oh, they're going to be good. No, they're not. Woody Johnson still owns that team, right?
Woody J.
They are a mess from the top to the bottom. And that's where the Jets are right now. So we can talk about firing Mike McCarthy, and ultimately he will be fired probably at the end of this season. But who's going to come in and be better as long as Jerry Jones is in the way of this thing?
Fair. I mean,
because nobody's worked there since Jimmy Johnson.
No.
I mean, you can say, yes, Barry Switzer won that Super Bowl with Jimmy's guys. But after that Super Bowl, Bill Parcells, one of the great head coaches of all time, didn't even get the job done in Dallas.
Right. I mean, when you're constantly looking over your shoulder and being micromanaged, I'm sorry, it doesn't work. Whether that is football, restaurants,
doesn't matter,
any job profession. Yeah. Somebody's like, yeah, I wouldn't do that. It's like, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
I'd run the ball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. The micromanaging thing doesn't work, but also, too, making bad decisions and financial decisions and stringing your guys along. This is a bad offseason for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody kind of saw this whole season play out the way it was when the whole the offseason, like you said, was going on.
Yeah, it was a mess, but that's ownership. That's Jerry Jones' fault.
I was going to ask this because I saw a video of it after they lost that game 47 to whatever it was.
I think it was 47-7.
47-17, whatever. And
I can't remember.
I saw two interesting things. One that I want to have a quick convo about. But one was, it was the worst loss in Dallas's history at home.
Under Jerry Jones.
Under Jerry Jones on his birthday.
Yeah.
So you know he's a sourpuss about that. Mm-hmm. Like, how dare you do that? The other thing is, do we overemphasize him walking into the locker room after the game?
Yeah,
isn't,
I think
like,
so.
Clark in the locker room every game?
They're all in there.
They all go in there, right?
Yeah.
But, like, he's the one guy you don't want to see come into your locker room.
I think you recognize him because you recognize him. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of these owners you don't recognize, but, like, some of the, like, a Jerry Jones or a Woody Johnson, you know, some of these guys that are constantly on the screen, you recognize. Like, you don't know who the owners of the Commanders are right now. If that guy walked in, or you wouldn't know who that guy was, or you'd know Jacksonville because that guy's got a mustache and things like, but you wouldn't know the owner of Houston if they walked into the locker room. Jerry Jones is a major figure, arguably the most popular and powerful figure in the NFL. Yeah, people are going to talk. People are going to talk when he walks into that locker room.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy, definitely not going to make it out of this year.
Look, it's not Mike's fault. They win 12 games. Yeah. Jerry Jones sucks. He just does.
They lost 47-9.
Oh, that's what it was, 9.
47. Yeah.
That's almost as bad as when Miami beat, what was it, Chicago last year? Or Denver, 72-20. I mean, that's a 52-point loss. Yeah. That's damn near 40.
That's a damn near 40-point loss. You get 40 balled in the NFL, you suck.
Yeah, and then...
And the linemen out there running wide receiver routes. I mean, Dan Campbell does not care.
Not good. Doug Peterson, the other guy?
Probably. I mean, Doug Peterson addressed that the team needs a culture change. You're the head coach of that.
Did you fire yourself? Right.
But, you know, they're still in London, right? So I think if they got the Patriots this weekend. Again, thank you, NFL. They've been rolling out just gems for these European games, right?
So mean.
Patriots, Jags, and then I think it's in a couple of weeks we get the Giants and Panthers in Germany, right? Thank you very much. Maybe they could leave Daniel Jones and, you know, all the other bad players over there and come back home and start anew. But that's what they should do with probably Doug. It's like Doug loses to New England this weekend, they're going to leave him in London.
That's the battle of the LSU wide receiver game, I guess, if you want to look at it from a nerd standpoint. The Malik Neighbors and B.J. Thompson.
Oh, you're talking about the Germany game.
Brian Thompson. That's what we got there. Yeah. You know,
like what do we have in New England versus Jacksonville at 8:30 this Sunday morning?
New England, Jacksonville.
You know, that's going to be a shirtless run for Bob, I'll tell you.
Trevor Lawrence versus Trevor Lawrence.
Oh. And then New England, you said you heard Bill Belichick go on full blast the Patriots coaching staff yesterday.
Yeah, on the Pat McAfee show, he's talking about Drake May. He's like, yeah, I thought Drake May looked good. You know, he's like, I worry about his coaching situation a bit. I was like, whoa. Okay, that's the guy that you hired, Gerard Mayo.
There's a reason why when ministers retire, they're not allowed to go back to the church that they once were a pastor.
Yeah, right.
You know, his sermon was not good.
Not good.
Come here, Bob. I'll tell you exactly what you need to hear today.
Yeah. But Bill Belichick, I mean, he is the sermon of Pat McAfee, and he's on the Manning cast for a little bit last night. I didn't catch any of Bill on the Manning cast because, quite frankly, I forgot the Manning cast was on last night. Has it fallen that far? Like, I forgot the Manning cast was on.
I didn't watch it either.
I had baseball on one TV and the regular football game on the other TV last night.
I think it's also the severity of the game. Like, I doubt you were watching the Manning cast when the Chiefs played.
No, God, no.
Right?
No,
that was the last Monday night game.
Yeah, and then they've had multiple Monday night games and stuff like that. Yeah, so, yeah.
It's not consistent enough. And then I want to add a name that I think we need to have a discussion with, and that is Zach Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Getting close.
If your team consistently is in a funzel in the first half of the season, that's got to be coaching, right? Like,
yeah.
Seems like Cincinnati always seems to, like, cut their head off before they start trying to see anything. And then by the time they get readjusted, it's like, okay, everything's got to go perfect for us to end up here.
Right.
Now, they've been to a Super Bowl. They've won a lot of games in the playoffs, and they've been successful. But they could be so much more successful if they would get it done early. And I feel like that's on coaching, and we're seeing that again. And I think his Tuesdays are getting tougher and tougher as a 2-14.
I don't disagree with you at all. I'm going to say a little bit is on Joe Burrow and that wrist. I mean, a lot. Now, all of a sudden, a lot of conversation about Joe Burrow's wrist is taking place. Oh, the wrist. Oh, of course it's not back to where it is, right? Allegedly. Or maybe he just regressed a little bit. Who knows? I tend to think the wrist is probably a factor right now. But you're out there playing, so you got to get the job done. Another guy that could potentially be on the hot seat. I mean, this Cleveland thing, right? I mean,
oh, Lord.
I mean, one in five.
Are they ran by, like, the mob or the cartel?
They're run by the truck stop guy. Yeah. He's
you must start him. What if I bench him? You die.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I can think of.
I just wish Stefanski would come out, but he's the head coach of this. Just like it's not Mike McCarthy down in Dallas. It's Jerry Jones. Bad ownership in Cleveland, man. Bad ownership.
It's a different situation between Dallas and Cleveland to me.
I think it's Mike both McCarthy, bad ownership.
But Mike McCarthy has say over what happens in the football team. He has say. If he wanted
Does he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I feel if he wanted to bench Dak, Jerry'd be like, go ahead.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think Jerry'd be like, yeah, bench his ass.
Bench him.
His little 6'6 sausage.
Yeah, I don't know that he would.
That's why Dak's not good. He lacks in the bulge.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so, man. Mike McCarthy wins 12 games a year. Kevin Stefanski and won a Super Bowl. Kevin Stefanski hadn't done squat.
Two-time coach of the year. Took Joe Flacco to the playoffs. Almost got a 1-seed with Flacco.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I just think the mob runs the Browns. Like, you do not bench Deshaun Watson. Why? Because I have the under on wins this season. Once we get to, like, 6 straight losses, then we can be a little bit more comfortable.
But, I mean, to sit there and say Deshaun Watson gives us our best chance
That's
to
a
win.
Lot.
I mean, come on.
Were they over the last 26 on third down conversions?
That's it.
That ought to get you fired. Everybody ought to get fired.
That's right. Over 26 is the number, yeah.
Wouldn't there be, like, a 3rd-and-1 or an offsides, like, something? 26?
Does that count
though? I guess maybe the offsides doesn't count. But still,
does
that count? One?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we've seen the Chiefs try to do a third and one, too.
Spoiler alert, one of my cover twos is how many third down conversions Cleveland converts over the weekend. I can tell you that much. One thing we do need to cover is the Royals offseason. We all sit down in Fesco's boardroom as he gives us his 2025-year plan for your Kansas City Royals on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.